From Dahlia Lithwick. She is a senior editor at Slate.com and a now a columnist with Newsweek magazine. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. And a regular contributor to NPR's Day to Day program. How are you?
I'm bored. I wish there was stuff going on.
I wish there was some political news to talk about.
Such a boring, boring campaign. I got nothing.
We are living through, and this is the way I feel personally for me. I think we've lived through one of the worst presidents in American history. I'm just speaking for myself. And I think we are living through one of the most fascinating, roller coaster, interesting, longest presidential campaigns in American history. I mean, if this don't make you interested in American politics, I'm not quite sure what will.
Right.
It's just unbelievable.
Right. It does have a certain reality TV quality. I mean, it's, you know, the identity politics and the pretty girl and the voting each other off the island. Like, it's weird. I think one of the reasons it's interesting is because it's kind of appealing to the lowest the lowest quality in, you know, sort of American infotainment. But I agree. Certainly people are captivated. You know, the conventions were incredibly highly watched. The debates, they're predicting, you know, viewership that's off the chart. So
yeah.
People are engaged. What more can you ask, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. So your thoughts about the news breaking this afternoon that John McCain says he's suspending his campaign as of tomorrow. He's pulling commercials. He's saying he wants a timeout from the debates. Barack Obama's base, the latest I've heard is debates are on, but they're supposed to issue some kind of joint statement. In fact, there's Barack Obama right there issuing a joint statement right now. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I have to tell you my very flip reaction when I heard the news an hour and a half ago.
I love flip reactions.
That was my first, I sent it out to the editorial alias at Slate, was, wait, if suspending the campaign means refusing to give press conferences or in fact talk to anybody, hasn't it been suspended for a month now? Because, you know, it's now been 4 days since Sarah Palin has spoken to anyone in the media other than, you know, cable television. It's been more than that.
She's
never done a press conference. She's never sat down with a print reporter and,
right,
you know, they chased them out of her high-profile UN meetings yesterday. So
she did Charlie, what's her name? What's
she
his
did
name?
Charlie Gibson.
She
and
did
then she
Katie
did
Couric.
Sean Hannity
for the infomercial.
Yeah.
And then Katie Couric.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, making her completely unavailable to any reporters asking serious questions is, I don't know what more they can suspend if you know, you're not going to talk to the media. But that said, it's hard not to not to connect the dots between today's polls, you know, that the McCain campaign is tanking. Clearly, I think by a 2-to-1 margin, voters really don't trust him to handle the economy. They trust Obama. And so it's hard not to look at this as a slightly cynical move to change the subject. I mean, I guess my gut reaction is, what exactly is John McCain going to do to solve this crisis? I mean, what can he bring to the table that precludes him from campaigning that, you know, Ben Bernanke isn't bringing there already?
Yeah. Why do they need John McCain at the table?
Well, I mean, I'm glad that he's decided it's an issue. You know, what was it, 4 days ago that he was still saying that, you know,
fundamentals of the economy are strong.
So I'm glad he's kind of caught up with the fact that this is in fact a crisis, but it's just a little bit perplexing that suddenly, you know, the campaigns need to be suspended in order to resolve it. I think probably the presidential thing to do is to get a president into the White House who makes good calls.
Yeah. We're talking with Dahlia Lithwick of Slate, NPR, and Newsweek. She's been recognized as one of the top legal thinkers in America today. And we're honored to have her here in the studio. Speaking of legal thinking, what are your thoughts about the plan that the Bush administration brought to the table? Basically said, we're going to give what amounts to would be in excess of $1 trillion when you add it all up to Wall Street. And we don't want any strings attached. And you have to allow the Secretary of the Treasury to do what he's going to do. And his actions can't be reviewed by any court. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so Section 8 of this Paulson proposal currently reads, as I understand it, quote, decisions by the Secretary pursuant to the authority of this act are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. That sounds to me like classic court stripping legislation that says there's just not going to be any judicial review here. Now, I want to be clear, it's not unconstitutional to strip the courts of their power to review things. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that Congress can't do this, although certainly Congress just got spanked in June for trying to do it in Guantanamo, trying to strip the courts of the power to review these habeas corpus calls that the military was making. So there's some question about whether there's an appetite for courts stripping bills. And I would wager that the current Supreme Court isn't all that keen on it. The larger question is why? And I think you're sort of flicking at that in your question. Why does this need to be subject to no judicial review? Is there some compelling reason that we can't have a second opinion on the matter? And I think that after 8 years of the Bush administration really trying to cabin the authority of the courts in one realm after another, you know, from torture to eavesdropping all the way down the line, they've tried to sideline the courts. And I would argue it's not been good for democracy. It's not been good for this country. And so this seems to me an inapt moment to be pushing for doing away with judicial review.
We're talking with Dahlia Lithwick of Slate NPR and Newsweek. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you. What do you make over the proposal that they're talking about now? This bailout idea that all this money would go towards Wall Street, and that they're sort of, a lot of them are laughing at the idea that even a fraction of that amount would go towards personal mortgages and trying to keep people in their homes, which I would argue would have an even stronger effect because you're going right to the root of the problem. What do you make of this? I mean, are you surprised that people are angry? Are you surprised that people are not even more angry? Because I personally feel like it's as if somebody broke into my home and wants to steal something.
Wants to take
all the money I'm saving for my kids' college education. It's like that.
No,
it's like, you got to be kidding me. I'm furious about this.
Well, but don't you think everyone's furious? I mean, one of the things
that's
striking is, you know, a Congress that has not managed to be bipartisan on anything for years manages to be bipartisan on their horror. So I actually think there's, you know, there is a second question, which is, you know, is this problem solvable? And I'm not real familiar with the other alternative bills that are floating around out there. I gather Chris Dodds at least has the virtue of allowing for judicial review, which is, you know, the thing that I'm concerned about. But I will say, I think that one of the things that worries me a lot is the notion that this needs to get solved now. Because if you'll remember, that's how the Patriot Act was passed.
Yeah.
And it's how the new FISA reauthorization was
passed.
That's
how we ended up in Iraq, too.
It's, you know,
we got to go now.
This
no discussion,
that,
no debate. We got to go now.
Right. If we take an extra day and actually read the legislation, then we're doing something foolhardy. And that gets my hackles up. And I have the sense that that's what's getting them riled up in Congress. It's a little bit of this fool me once, shame on me. But I really know that here we are, you know, 8 years later, we had people signing off on the Patriot Act who never read the thing in Congress. And now they have to live with it. They have to answer to their constituents for not having taken the time, to pour themselves a good stiff drink and read the thing. And it seems to me that I'm not sure they're willing to go down that road again. I think they've been rushed and hustled and shamed into acting intemperately enough times in the past 8 years under this Bush administration that this notion that we just have to hurry up, we have to solve it by Friday, and whatever the solution is, it's going to be a good solution because we're doing something. I don't know that that flies anymore, Coy.
It's good because we're doing it quickly.
Right, and that there's
doesn't matter what it really is. We're, as long as we do it quickly, it'll be good.
Well, and you know, I think that that goes to the larger way we're talking about everything. You know, that Bush is a decider. He makes quick decisions. He doesn't back down from them. You know, Sarah Palin is now sort of wrapping herself in that same mantle of, you know, I didn't blink, I don't think twice, I stand by my convictions, that there's some virtue in making quick, ill-informed judgments. It shows some kind of leadership. And, you know, to my mind, forgive me, it shows a sort of mental illness more than leadership. It shows a sort of inability to say, I need to think this through, this is complicated. And so, as I say, when I see Congress balking at being forced to make ill-informed, quick decisions, I think that that's putting us back on the road we should have been on for a long time now.
We're talking with Dahlia Lithwick of Slate, NPR, and Newsweek.